Happy Monday, Bucks fans. Steve Isbitz here, one of the Joes at joebucksfan.com. This is the Monday Morning Joe podcast presented by Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai, and Discount Garage Doors. Thanks for tuning in every week. All of you who listen on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, you can subscribe there free for an alert. And of course, thousands of you, most of you really, listen right here on joebucksfan.com on the website. Thank you so much. It's a tough time to be a Bucks fan. It really is. You watch these playoff teams, these NFC teams, and it starts to sink in how far away the Bucks are. And I don't even think that's being pessimistic. It's just kind of the reality in a lot of ways. But NFL teams turn it around quickly every year. So the season of hope, it's nearing. We're still in the season of mourning, still in the season of despair. Maybe a little more this year because we don't have a lot of hope that's already been injected with maybe a new coach here or two or some sort of powerful change. We just have the status quo, as we like to call it, or the status quo, but we still have hope ahead. So you know what? That's why we're fans. We stick with our team. We deal with the highs. We deal with the lows. And that's the roller coaster of being a Bucks fan. That's the roller coaster of JoeBucksFan.com. We're there for you every day, good and bad, no sugarcoating. And you know who else is there for you every day? Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai, LakelandFord.com, LakelandHyundai.com. Check them out online. Of course, LakelandAutoMall.com has it all for you. Start your new year off with a lower payment on hundreds of new Ford and Hyundai vehicles. With every new vehicle purchase, get their nationwide lifetime warranty and 1 year free scheduled maintenance. That's a signature of Lakeland Auto Mall Ford and Hyundai. There's no gimmick. Get up to $12,000 off new Fords right now, up to $8,000 off new Hyundais with 0% APR for up to 72 months and no payments for 3 months. Not sure you're ready to buy? Use their awesome online deal maker tool. You can shop by payment, save you a lot of time, and really just a great, smart way to go. And my favorite opportunity at LakelandFord.com, you Bucks fans, you stick carriers, just contact manager Sean Sullivan at Lakeland Ford after you get your lowest online price, and there's no gimmick with the pricing online. Call Sean Sullivan, tell him you're a Bucks fan, tell him you listen to this podcast, you're a stick carrier, whatever you want to call yourself, and you get $500 off your best deal. Lakeland Ford, Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai. Check them out. We appreciate their support. And what are you going to do if your garage door breaks? Are you going to call the same guy you did last time who didn't fix it right or didn't give you good advice, didn't really let you know that you needed a new one or didn't know how to handle it? No, you're going to call Discount Garage Doors and get a same-day free service call. DGDoors.com is their website. Give them a call anytime, 1-866-420-DOOR. You get 10% off with your Joe Bucks fan discount, but still, it's a free service call. That means they'll come out, give you a diagnosis, tell you everything you need to know to fix the problem. Maybe they can even do it right there if you want them to, or they'll give you pricing on their wide range of discounted new garage doors, a lot of great brands. It's the ultimate way to do business. A lot of companies charge for that service. Discount Garage Doors does not. They will come out and give you a free diagnosis, no problem. 1-866-420-DOOR. This is a great local Florida company that services 18 counties based here in the Tampa Bay area. They've been doing it a long time. This is where you want to go. Discount Garage Doors. The name says it all. 1-866-420-DOOR. All right. Where to begin on this fine Monday? So many places to go. So many directions to start, so much going on in the last week. It's weird doing a weekly podcast when I also help out on the Ira Kaufman podcast and in between, and then there's just so much happening. You know, even there's no off season. That's just the way we roll around here, and it's tough for me to think where to start. But you know what? I'm going to start with really what was on my mind yesterday when I wrote it up. Derek Brooks, last year, this time of year, end of the season, 2016, Bucks coming off 9-7. Brooks, who did a weekly spot, used to do a weekly spot with Steve Dumig on WDAE. At that time, Brooks was saying he believed the Bucks would make it to the divisional round of the playoffs, meaning either they win the division, but more likely they get to the wild card, they win a game, and then they get knocked out. That was Brooks's assessment. Now, keep in mind, he is in regular contact with Jameis Winston. He has a pulse of the team through other players, and this is not a guy who makes pie-in-the-sky predictions. He's a classy guy. He's very measured. This was his measured decision, especially after he learned the Buccaneers were bringing back Mike Smith for a second season, which Brooks himself called the best offseason move of the year by the Bucks. So this is Brooks. Okay, so that was last year, Steve. Big deal. Well, Brooks was on Brooks was on CBS Sports Radio on Thursday, with Rondé Barber's brother, Tiki Barber, on the Tiki and Tierney Show. Of course, we monitor everything here at JoeBucksFan.com, and I think we do that pretty darn well. It's a passion. Anyway, so Brooks is asked about the pass rush of the Bucks, and the interview wasn't even about the Bucks. It was about NFL issues and whatnot. National show. Nobody really wants to talk Bucks. It's the way it is. But he was asked, what about the Bucks pass rush and repairing that? You know, forget about Jameis, Derek, and the offense and all this other stuff. The pass rush is so bad, it's holding him back. Brooks starts laughing. He laughs. He says it's one of the worst-kept secrets in the league. And he says that is the case when you look at the team and evaluate it under Light and Cutter, and they got to find a way to address the issue because it's been multiple years. I'm paraphrasing. And Brooks says you can go on down the line. And he mentioned addressing the offensive continuity and the failures in the running game. Now, offensive continuity interested me a little bit to hear Brooks say that, because what does he really mean? Now, I'm going to hopefully get a chance to talk to him at the Pro Bowl this week. I'll be out there on Wednesday. The media gets to just sort of really be on the practice field, and it's a very laid-back environment and a lot of opportunity to talk to guys with their guard down a little bit. But continuity of the offense, Brooks mentions. Think about that for a minute. Offensive continuity. Now, this wasn't a team that was great on offense in 2016. So where is Brooks going with this? Does he see a great decline in the offense? Does he see a disconnected team when he's looking at the film and the flow and the play calling? To me, that was very interesting from Brooks, again, because the offense did not score a ton of points in 2016. Doug Martin was dreadful in 2016, and they won on the backs of their defense, which only allowed 17 points through the second half of the season. So to me, that said a lot from Brooks. Very interesting. Anyway, Brooks goes on to say, you know, the Bucks have to address how they deal with injuries. That was a red flag to me. How do you deal with injuries? What the hell does that mean? Does that mean maybe he didn't like the way they dealt with Jameis's injury, or the management of that and the decisions related to it? I don't know. I'm purely speculating. But how do teams deal with injuries? Maybe he was talking about how do they respond when players are injured. I don't know, but it didn't sound that way, because every team has injuries. And then Brooks went on to say, do you draft on defense after drafting so much on offense? Do you feel the need to balance out the draft tables? Remember, Jason Light only drafted one defensive player in 2014 and 2015. In 2016, he drafted two defensive players in his first three picks. They haven't worked out. Hargraves and Noah Spence. And this past season, of course, in 2017, O.J. Howard went with the first-round pick. Second round, the Bucks got Justin Evans. And you might make the case, one could make the case, the Bucks took Justin Evans because they felt compelled to draft a defensive player. Now, you don't want to believe that. You want to believe that the team has some sort of greater team building and wouldn't pigeonhole themselves that way if they saw a more impact player available, like a running back. But they drafted Justin Evans, and was that because they were compelled to do it? Maybe that's part of what Brooks was saying here. I don't know, but Brooks, I think the overall point was Brooks was not saying, hey, I thought this team was a playoff team this year. They're not that far away. Some things broke badly for them, a lot of tight games. I think they can rebound. He was sort of saying it, man, they got a lot to address. And I thought that was very telling from a guy who is very measured and thoughtful and intelligent and football savvy and pays attention and has contacts. And I just thought worth noting. And, you know, I don't have all the answers here, but I try to bring up what's interesting. And that's really what JoeBucksFan.com is all about, writing about what's interesting and bringing you news and all that stuff that you, whatever, you know, opinion, whatever, all that stuff. A word about the Pro Bowl. Again, I'll be out there. Wednesday is the first practice, and we'll have some good stuff on the website really through the week. And I'm hoping to get out another day and to the game. One of the things I do with the Pro Bowl, I went last year, and really at any of these NFL events that are off season, you just get a great chance to get perspective on the Buccaneers from players, both sides of the ball, coaches, in a relaxed way. Like, I'm not identified as Steve from JoeBucksFan.com with a giant hat on my head and name badge. Sure, I've got a media pass, but it's not like everybody knows who I am by any stretch of the imagination. So if I'm able to go up to a player and start talking about teams they faced and who the toughest matchups, without even mentioning the Bucks, sometimes you can really get some insight into the Bucks if a guy's mentioned or is not mentioned. I remember last year talking to Joe Thomas about Noah Spence. And just a little examples like that, but really just a lot of great ways to learn more about the league, learn more about the team and how they're viewed, and of course talk to the Buccaneers who are there. But just another way to grow what we do on the website, as well as my knowledge I can share with you. And you know, sometimes when we have insights and opinions that you hate on JoeBucksFan.com, a lot of them are born from all these off-season chattering and chats that we're able to have with people around the league. Lee DeCamper, he's going up to Media Day again. There's a lot to learn. An NFL week, talking to all kinds of movers and shakers, and of course the players. Media Day is great because they have to talk for an hour or get fined by the league, and you can ask them any kinds of questions. Now, you see all the freaks that go to Media Day, but there's plenty of non-freaks there and a lot of players who are available and assistant coaches, and it's really a cool way to gather information. Combine is just a convention, like a spring breakish kind of time for NFL executives. I mean, Lee and I have learned so much. He likes to talk about the bars and the, you know, the ladies with the red dresses at St. Elmo's in restaurant in downtown Indianapolis, and there are many other hot spots, but it really is a great place to learn things. Now, we sat down with an NFL coach a couple of years ago at the combine, and good golly, I mean, so much that was learned from that. It helped that the guy who was not associated with the Bucks knew of JoeBucksFan.com, and I had had an interaction with him many years ago. But damn, you know, it was you just learn so much, and you can pick up so much honesty, because there's not a lot of honesty in sports media. There's a lot of BS. You got to be able to sift through quotes, what's true, what's not true, what's reality, what's not reality. And right now, of course, I mentioned this because we're entering the season of lying, the season of teams and GMs just BSing what their intentions are, what their needs are, happy to blow smoke and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, just wanted to bring that up. Pro Bowl, if you're going out there and you need tickets or you want really good seats and not the nosebleeds, fanretreat.com. Get all your tickets, fanretreat.com. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. We love Fan Retreat, good Florida company. And you know what? You can get lightning tickets there, whatever you need, one-stop shop, hotel, airlines, and all your travel, tickets, whatever, events, fanretreat.com. Now, Jameis Warren Sapp wrote something today that they're wearing their Eagles colors watching the games. Now, Jameis, I don't fault him for that. He was put on his Instagram. He's wearing an Eagles jersey, watching his Eagles against the Saints. He's been very vocal since he got into the league that he grew up an Eagles fan, and he loves the Eagles, second favorite team to the Bucks. When he played twice already in Philadelphia, he talked about it. He's talked about it many times. I'm not going to fault the guy for maintaining his allegiances. I just can't do it. You know, sports is still about being a fan. It's still supposed to be fun. A guy who truly loves football, I expect him to love a team. And while I know Jameis loves the Bucks, I get that he's still a fan of his beloved Eagles. Now, that said, do you have to put yourself in a green jersey and watch a game? I can't. It just looks weird, but I can't kill him for it. However, Warren Sapp, spotted by media and posing for cameras at the Eagles tailgate yesterday, wearing an Eagles jersey, knowing that the guy's Buccaneers Ring of Honor, he always hated the Eagles. It was the Eagles' arch rival. You know that fans are going to be like, what the blank is that? Seeing Sapp wearing the dreaded Eagles garb, the arch rival of the team. Come on, man. There's just something so wrong and so vile. And it's not like the Bucs have ever been able to turn the page to a new era of Buccaneers greatness and that's ancient history. That's all we have to hang on to. For a lot of fans, is our memories of those battles with the Eagles and getting to the Super Bowl and shutting down the vet and all that kind of stuff. So to me, that was just wrong. You just can't do that, you know? It's like I don't know. It's almost like, let's say Evan Longoria grew up in Rhode Island and he wore a Red Sox jersey after he retired. You know, I don't know. It's just odd. I don't know. It just stinks and whatever. It's just weird. You know, so much about this Bucks offseason stinks. And I say that not that, hey, they're a losing team right now, but just something doesn't smell right. I've mentioned this before. I'm just going to take a second to do it again. It's just the Bucks are bucking the trend here. You're not going to change one coach. It's just weird. It's just weird. I really hope that something is up in free agency or Jason Light has got some angles to work some trades, maybe some deals that did not get done at the trade deadline this year where he probably had some interest or found some interest. I don't know, but something has to be done when you think about this team, something bold, because let's just use logic. Jason Light's on a hot seat. Dirk Cutter's on a hot seat. They can't just go status quo. They just can't do it. Although I fear that Dirk Cutter believes in his system so much, and he is rather conservative as a coach, that he's just and loyal, that maybe he is just content with riding out his system, doing it his way, and believing in it. I worry about that. Jason Light, he doesn't have to operate that way in the offseason. So there's a lot on Light here to make some bold moves, and at least what's encouraging is he's done it before, but I don't know if he gets cold feet here knowing that his job's on the line. The Glazers, are they going to give him a year six if the team doesn't win again? That's just would be almost unheard of. And let me start with the defensive ends, because there's a true defensive end deficit right now on this team. We know that, but also in free agency around the league, there's just not much there. Nobody expects Ziggy Ansah to leave the Lions, and there's just not much out there. Julius Peppers, is he really going to sign with the Bucks? They'd have to offer him a massive fortune to want to come here when the Panthers probably bring him back, and there are probably other teams who would be happy to have him back. So why would he come here? Would the Bucks offer him that much money for a one-year fix? Would they dare offer him a two-year deal and be bold? I don't know. I don't even know if he'd want to come here, but I don't see that happening at all. That's got to be the longest of long shots out there. So there's very little in free agency. They're not going to bring Adrian Claiborne back. Adrian Claiborne, I'm not a big fan. He's been a loafer. He's out there. He had a good year. He's better than what we got now. He's a very good upgrade to some of the guys we have at defensive end now. But they're not going to bring back Adrian Claiborne. I don't see it happening at 29 years old. He had 9.5 sacks, but 6 in one game. So, you know, let's just say he was more of a 5 or 6 sack guy this year. Maybe they bring him in. I'd be happy with it, but I just don't see it. So, and I'm only happy with it because it represents an upgrade, which isn't hard to do on this team. So what do the Bucks do? What do they do at defensive end? Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network, one of the few mock draft guys, NFL draft gurus that I respect a lot. One, because he is respected a lot in league circles. He's a former scout for multiple teams. And talking to GMs at these offseason events or whatnot, they have a lot of respect for Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, if you follow him, if you listen to his podcasts, he doesn't go over the top and he's not playing showman yet. And, you know, Mike Mayock, frankly, has gone a little bit too Hollywood for me from what he used to be 3-4 years ago, even though I have a ton of respect for Mayock. And he definitely puts in the film work and he has a different eye having played the game in the NFL. Although I like the eye of Jeremiah, who was a college quarterback and was a scout. So to me, he's got just as much credibility as Mayock. And he's full-time year-round on the draft. Mayock does other calls games and other things. So anyway, Jeremiah, in his first mock draft, put Marcus Davenport out of the University of Texas at San Antonio, defensive end, big guy, 6'7", 250 or so, mocked him to the Bucks at number 7 overall. So what are you going to make of that? To me, the guy's a project. Maybe he's not. Maybe he has the skills. Maybe he's a Khalil Mack, a guy who can come in from a smaller school and get it done right away and rush off the edge. But to me, he's more of a project. He's not Khalil Mack. I'm not hearing that. I'm not seeing that, but it's early, and I can't say I've been sitting around watching University of Texas at San Antonio football. But the Bucs can't afford this regime. It feels like they can't afford to sign a guy who might be a little bit of a project because maybe they don't have 2 years. And that's scary to me that maybe the team is put in a position where they can't do what's in the best interest of the franchise. Look at Khalil Mack. He came into the league his first year, 4 sacks with Oakland. Playing more as a linebacker, rushing a little bit off the edge. Then they turned him into a defensive end. He's 3 consecutive years in the Pro Bowl, 15 sacks, 11 sacks. I think he had 10 or 11 this year. Hasn't missed a game in 4 seasons. He's a superstar. But that first year, it didn't happen. And there's many defensive ends who just can't have a massive year in their first year as rookies. And you get the feeling that the Bucs need a guy to have a massive year. Derek Barnett, guy taken in the first round last year, 5 sacks for the Eagles. I think he was picked at number 16. A lot of guys, or 17, a lot of people liked him as a possibility for the Bucs if they went pass rusher. He was on my radar for sure. He had a 5-sack season in sort of a rotational role. Is that going to work for the Bucs if they find a guy who can deliver a 5-sack season? I don't know if that's going to get the job done for what this team needs to overhaul the defense. It's just tricky. It is really tricky for the Bucs. You know, Aldon Smith, I think he might have been the last guy to have a monster year at defensive end as a rookie. Ryan Kerrigan came in well, but he was a 3-4 guy also, like Khalil Mack was. It's just a tough spot for the Bucs when they decide what to do at defensive end. And is Chubb going to fall to the Bucs? Are they going to trade up for him? Maybe. Maybe that's the out. I don't know. I don't know. But you know what? The more you study this draft, and this is what is sad and bizarre, the more you study this draft, the more you sort of bang your head against the wall that the Bucs beat the Saints to close the season, because it was nice on paper, and the Dirk Cutter kind of needed that, I think, for the team. It might be a good thing overall in morale and all that kind of stuff. And to me, Cutter needed to show he could win, so I don't want to be hypocritical, and I've talked about that on this podcast. But you know what? Did it help the team overall? No, it really didn't. They'd be much better off with that number 4 or 5 pick. I don't remember which one it is or which one they would have had if they lost to the Saints, if they didn't have that final drive to close the game. So, hey, that's just history. That's just life. But you know what? It's no excuse. The number 7 overall pick, which they have now, is a good pick. Plenty of great teams keep reloading their team, drafting 20th every year, 23rd every year. So there really is no excuse. And I'm not making one. But what do the Bucs do with defensive end? I mentioned this on the Ira Kaufman podcast in some form. I think the Bucs really have to lower their standards here. In a sense, lower their goal. Because can we just get back to having maybe 4 average defensive ends? Can we aspire to be average? Because I think that's going to be a big upgrade. I think it would be a big upgrade. So can we just find some average free agents? Some guys who can sort of be okay? Can we maybe get a little more out of Will Golston if we keep him? Which I'm not sure we will, but it's just downright depressing, and it really highlights that Jason Light and his team, they screwed up by not pushing harder on defensive end last year when this year's crop isn't special. Now, deeper in the draft, there are plenty of other defensive ends. Those are just 2 guys. I'm not going to do a draft breakdown here, but sure, and every year people find pass rushers in the second round, third round, fourth round. Bucks have to make that happen. I just don't have any faith the guys doing this can do it, because they would have done it already. It's year 5 for Jason Light being involved in building a defensive line, which the Bucks have an old defensive line and an ineffective defensive line. And one thing that was very troubling last season is they were bad against the run. Average yards per carry was poor, and bad against the pass. So where do you start? Yeah, it's... All right, deep breath time. Calm down. Don't freak out. It's just football, even though it's life and death, but it's just football. Calm down. On the flip side of the free agency lexicon, if you want to call it that, is running back. Do the Bucs try to solve their running back issues in the draft, or do they not want to wait that long? And I'm of the opinion that they should not wait that long. I believe Peyton Barber, and this is maybe a little controversial out there. A lot of fans I know believe Peyton Barber, he's a good number three running back. He's not a number one or two guy. He's not a number one or a 1A guy. He's not a third down back, at least not yet. He's a number three. He's a backup to your one. He's not even a third down guy. I don't know if I buy that. I like what I've seen of Barber. You go back and watch the film. I think in some ways it looks better the second time around. And he does have the young legs. And I think he's been developed pretty well as an undrafted guy, as a young guy coming out. I think he can be a 1A. I think he can be somebody who complements another good back and can take over in an injury situation. I think he's okay. I really do. So for me, that means go get another running back who's good in free agency. Let them compete. Find a guy with a good attitude who's proven himself, who isn't a star, but maybe two 1As, and Jaquizz Rodgers backing them up and playing a little on third down. I don't have a problem with that. And you can still draft a running back very late if you need to and see a gem out there. You could still look at undrafted guys. I'd go get it in free agency. Carlos Hyde is probably going to be available. He's had good years for lousy 49ers teams. He's been consistent. He's a hard runner. I think he's a wonderful complement to Peyton Barber. They maybe have some similar styles, but you know what? I think the Bucs having two running backs that are way better than Doug Martin is a massive upgrade. I said going into this season, you all heard it too many times, the Bucs would just be a better team with Doug Martin not on the field, and they didn't do it, they didn't listen, they didn't get it, whatever. They don't take orders from me, but to me it was painfully obvious. But a Carlos Hyde, I like Hyde. I like Orleans Darkwa out of the Giants. Got a lot done behind a garbage, absolute garbage offensive line. Any of you who follow football know just the train wreck situation the Giants have had at offensive line. Darkwa's found a way to be productive this year, to finish strong. Both of these guys have significant experience. Neither one is super old or high mileage. And you know what? They might be wonderful 1A backs to compete with Barber, be massive upgrades on Martin, and, you know, just come in here and not force the Bucs to do something in the draft that they really don't want to do. Again, this comes back to my belief that the two areas of weakness on this team, defensive end and running back, are weaknesses for a reason, which means the regime isn't good at evaluating their own talent or evaluating other people's talent. So I don't want this team, this group, going into the draft, oh, we got to draft a running back and a defensive end, 1-2. I don't think they necessarily have the track record to do that successfully. So go in free agency, get yourself the best you can get, guys who are willing to compete. Really don't bring in the swaggy Bakers, who you must have known, if Ira Kaufman knew it, must have known wasn't a team guy. And don't get a diva type guy like DeSean Jackson. I'm not saying he was bad for chemistry, but he's a diva type. Get the right guys with the right mentality to come in here and work to mirror the work ethic of the guys like Jameis and Quan Alexander. Doesn't mean everybody has to be a cookie cutter dude, but just pick the right guys for a change. But I would go after it in free agency at running back. The Bucs, they can't afford to mess around here. Team needs a running game. It was subpar last year. Subtraction of Martin, good competition for Peyton Barber with maybe a similar kind of back with experience. I think they could be fine. Expect Jaquizz Rodgers to come back. Dirk Koetter likes him. He pass blocks well. He's proven he can be a come-in cold running back. I'm not saying I love the guy, but I respect him wholeheartedly. Charles Sims, I think he's going to be back too. He's a cutter guy, plays special teams. They love him. Dirk Koetter said last year, this past season, he had an outstanding training camp. They like the guy. You're going to see a lot of status quo around this team for guys they like, especially on offense. Can the Bucs get another running back in if they go free agency in the draft? Yeah, but maybe that's just a seventh round guy. I don't know, but lots to see. And as the team evolves with their tight ends and whatnot, and receivers. They may have more guys in those positions who are not going to play special teams, where I could see them keeping a fifth running back, but that's way down the line on the 53-man roster. Hey, want to take a second first. You got plenty more here. Want to take a second first. Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com. That's the website. They're there for you on the phone 24/7. Schedule a same-day free service call. Of course, if you call at 5:30 at night, they're not coming out there in an hour. But you know what? They might be able to get there the next morning. And you know what? They might be available. You never know. But same-day free service call. They'll give you a diagnosis. They can fix it on the spot. They've got big, big selection of new doors. They're inexpensive. dgdoors.com. And again, Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai, very easy to get to, right off I-4, West Memorial Boulevard, LakelandFord.com. Get your lowest internet price there. There's no joke on a new vehicle. And then call Sean Sullivan, Lakeland Ford manager, and get an extra $500 off. No gimmick. You still get the nationwide lifetime warranty and all the other perks available at Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai. So thanks to them. Supporting sponsors is just a cool thing to do, especially when they're locally owned businesses. This isn't some sort of big chain all over the country. Not that we hate big chains, but you know how it goes. Small businesses, locally owned businesses, just like JoeBucksFan.com. So we love them. Thanks for their support. Let me get back to the draft. I just want to at least acknowledge that a lot of fans out there, they're doing their homework. They're poring over what might represent hope for this team, and they're looking at the guard, the big Notre Dame guard, Quentin Nelson. And it's fun to watch the videos. He's pancaking guys. Even if he's holding on the play, we don't care about that because it's exciting. He's pancaking. He's body slamming. He's a beast. He's a pure man beast. And he looks like a top 10 surefire pick, a slam dunk, the classic line of, oh, you know what? You draft this guy, you don't have to worry for 10 years. And you know what? He looks like a great left guard, and he probably is. But the question is, are the Bucks going to be interested in drafting a piece like that? Now, I think they will be. I think Jason Light, an ex-offensive lineman, very easily could get intoxicated by a guy like Nelson, especially when you think about, Nelson comes in, his strength is run blocking, he's going to be good out of the gate. They're going to think, Donovan Smith, who we love, who we think's a top 12, top 10, top 12 left tackle, and the Bucks believe that. You're going to trust me on that. He's going to be a good influence, especially in a contract year, and they love Ali Marpet at center. Trust me on that. They love him at center, and Ali's a good guy, and he's going to be helpful with the rookie and powerful, and they can bring an attitude. And, man, we can run the ball left like nobody's business. I don't put that past this Buccaneers organization at all to draft Quentin Nelson. I don't have a problem with him drafting him at all, but you know what? You better not miss. He better be an instant impact guy right out of the gate, because they just cannot afford to miss given all of their needs on defense. They can't afford to miss. Now, one thing to just keep an eye on with Nelson, when you look at the Bucks and managing their, if they're thinking future a little bit, managing their salary cap, it's going to benefit them, behoove them to have an offensive lineman on the books who's a rookie and under that rookie salary cap for a while. You need those guys to mix in with the veterans. You just do if you want to balance your salaries out. And next year, it's a contract year for Marpet and Smith. If they both play pretty well and Jason Light keeps his job, he's going to want to pay those guys. And you can't pay everybody, and you need some rookies blended in. I'm not sure exactly what they think of Benenock, although I know they like his run blocking, but we'll see. That's still a project in development. A lot of issues to explore on the O-line, but Nelson, I'm not against it. I'm also not going to be banging the table for Quentin Nelson, but if you think he's a slam dunk, I don't think any team ever goes wrong with picking a guy that they think is a slam dunk, can't miss football player. Just think of the teams that passed on Luke Kuechly in the 2012 draft. He was the consensus home run, slam dunk guy, is going to be a great football player for 10 years. And look at him. I think any team that would have taken him, including the Bucks, wouldn't have gone wrong. But that's just me. So we'll see. The draft will evolve. The draft will develop. The offseason angles, the smoke screens are going to come. We have free agency in 7 weeks, seven beautiful weeks. The free agent, really like six and a half. The free agency dinner bell will ring. No, is it 7 weeks? Yeah, 7 weeks. And it's always fun. You know, and actually at websites across the country, NFL websites, March is always the busiest time of year. Unless you play for a great team that's in the playoffs, March is the season of hope. It's the season of madness in the NFL. Everybody's dreaming of their team breaking the bank, and the Bucks have a lot of money to spend. So where do they spend it? Now, I'm going to close the podcast with DeSean Jackson. And speaking of DeSean Jackson, well, actually, I got two more things to get to, but I'll get to Jackson first. You know, I haven't spoken here since DeSean Jackson was on First Take ESPN talking about Jameis. And, you know, we published, it was in the Tampa Bay Times first, but we actually did a more thorough transcription of Jackson. I haven't rolled it all out yet. And also the question that was actually asked of him. And he was asked, and in the question, there were multiple times he was asked about Jameis regressing. The host was saying, you know, Jameis has regressed, talking about him and Mariota. And Jackson offered no defense. And he just said, you know, Jameis needs to go back to what made him Jameis at Florida State. And Jackson said that he talked to Jameis about, hey, man, I've got the experience with other quarterbacks. Jameis, you're already being professional. You're already doing all the right things in meetings and all this. You got to just go back to what you were doing on the field as a kid and having fun and relaxing. And he said, quote, a lot of times you try to impress. And Jackson was saying, you have a mentality of, hey, I want to do this and show them I can do this and do that. But he said to Jameis, you got to get away from that and just start playing ball like you did in the yard and all that stuff. And stop, quote, impressing the world, trying to impress the world. And that really stuck with me because Jameis is supposed to be the ultimate leader, right? He's supposed to be the alpha guy, sets a great example, and he's the leader. What do you do with a leader? You follow his lead. It's really not that complicated. And leadership can be overrated. But to me, to hear Jackson say, you know what? I don't want to follow what you do on the field. Because you're not being yourself and you're trying to impress people. That's pretty powerful stuff. When you think of the stock that people put into Jameis as a leader, you got the most savvy guy on the offense. And Jackson's very savvy, very smart, very well spoken. He's the cool guy in the room. He's basically saying that Jameis, yeah, he's got all the leadership qualities, but on the field, I don't want to lead. I don't want to follow your example. And that just didn't feel good to me at all. We'll talk more about some of the other things that Jackson had to say. But last podcast, and this rolls into from Jackson, last podcast, I put it out there saying, hey, you know what? The Bucks really need to consider bold moves. Maybe trading Kendall Beckwith would be one idea that I had, because if all goes right for the Bucks, Beckwith's not even going to be on the field that much. Because David's here, Quan Alexander's here, and Devontae Bond is also a good tackler and a guy that, you know, we think at Joe Bucks Fan is on the rise. So maybe Beckwith, if you're looking to do something bold, maybe he's a guy you trade. And I put it out for fan suggestions saying, hey, what do you think? Email me some bold moves, joe@joebucksfan.com, that you think of. And most of them, the ones that came in, I got about a dozen in, which is really nice. Appreciate that. Most of them centered around DeSean Jackson, around D-Jax. And one that came in actually today from Stephen V, I won't give out a last name. Stephen suggested DeSean Jackson would be a good fit for the 49ers, who have 2 third-round picks in their stable. And, you know, maybe they'd be willing to part with one of them. He didn't specify what the trade would be. But maybe the Niners are willing to part with a third and a fourth rounder for DeSean Jackson. So how do the Bucks benefit from that? Why would they do that? Well, I suggested once before that, you know what, maybe, this was on the Ira Kaufman podcast, maybe a bold move you make is going all in on Chris Godwin as your number two receiver. If you believe in the guy, Dirk Cutter already initially called him the next Roddy White, and then he called him the next Vincent Jackson. If you believe that he's the guy, well, why not put him out there? Maybe go bold, go all in, get rid of DeSean Jackson for what you can get for him. If you could get something for him, I'm not saying cut him. I'm saying if there's a trade out there, play it right. If you can get something back, go all in with Chris Godwin and then pick up a number three caliber, number three, number four caliber, a good caliber wide receiver, a guy who can be a number two if necessary. Those are bold moves. Teams, the Bucs got to do something to gather some more picks, especially when you think Jason Light is good at the draft. So if he's got a good batting average, let's give him more times up at the plate. Let him give him more times to swing the bat. If you could trade DeSean Jackson for two picks, I like Jason Light's odds of getting me a good young player with a third and fourth round pick, or maybe trading both and getting back into the second round to get another defensive end out there with some promise. I don't know. Something to think about. But most of your fan suggestions revolved around DeSean Jackson getting traded. And it's not out of the woods. It's not out of reality. It's not far-fetched. And I hate to say this because I'm a Bucs fan. That's why we're here. That's why Joe Bucs Fan exists. Lee D. Kemper and myself, we're big Bucs fans. The Buccaneers are not making the Super Bowl next year. I'm sorry. They're not a Super Bowl team. I hope they surprise me. Doesn't mean I don't cheer for them when the whistle blows, but they're not a Super Bowl team next year. And DeSean Jackson, after next year, he probably loses some ability and some of his value on the market under the contract he's at and at his age and all that stuff. So this is the time to get the most for DJax. And I think you need to consider that. But again, you go back to a regime that needs to win now. Well, you know what? To save jobs. If DeSean Jackson can click with Jameis, then they've got the fantasy dream situation of Godwin and Evans and DeSean Jackson and all the weapons for Winston hype and all that stuff, and it actually working, that's going to win you some games. So I don't expect DeSean Jackson to go, but I would love the team to explore it. I really would. I don't think it would hurt anything unless word got out that you were exploring that, then DeSean Jackson finds out and you end up keeping him and he's all butthurt and annoyed and all that kind of stuff. So that's bad. One other funny one that came in on the fan suggestions, Suresh wrote, how about bringing in Mark Dominic as a consultant for Jason Light? Dominic was able to handle trade conversations and get trades done. Remember, he fleeced Chicago for a second round pick for Gaines Adams. I thought that was kind of funny. Made me laugh. Yes, Dominic did some good things. Sorry for the cough, which lets me know the podcast is ending. Dominic did some good things, but he's not coming back. And nobody else has brought him in as a consultant, although he does a great job on SiriusXM NFL Radio. And he was in the ESPN layoff, so he's not there anymore. But you can hear him on Sirius. I don't think Dominic will be called in to negotiate trades for Jason Light. Just a hunch. Thanks again, Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai. Discount Garage Doors, thanks to you. Leave a comment. If you made it this far, you probably like the podcast, probably, or you're just aching for Bucs news and Bucs talk, and I don't blame you there. There's not a lot of good stuff out there. Leave a comment on the podcast on Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, especially, where most of you listen through the apps. Leave a comment, good or bad, suggestions, not a suggestion, whatever. Rate the podcast. I appreciate it. Kind of raises the profile of the podcast. And it's just good to see. And I appreciate all the ones that have been coming in for sure. All right. Thanks again. Next week, Monday Morning Joe podcast. Stick with us all week on joebucksfan.com. It never stops. Go Bucks.